stuff on here?
How are we gonna restore 15 to 20 million jobs? I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, well, well. Welcome to another edition of American Workers Radio, broadcasting here on 860 AM. As you know, we serve southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware on the radio itself. However, people can call up Alexa 860 AM radio every Wednesday from 11 a.m. until 12 noon. And of course, they can also go on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link, or you can listen 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, simply by going also to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Anytime link. And everywhere I go, I give out flyers about our broadcast. And I have to tell you, it's great to hear the response from people because they're talking common sense and they love the idea that Larkin, Rich, Mark, and all of us are talking common sense. Most people want to know, where is the national media? Where exactly are they? I mean, they're telling us all the bad things that are happening, everything that's terrible in the world. How about how we are going to help ourselves and move America forward in the future? You know, as we begin the fall season, a new season of the year, I'm asking every one of you to go out and spread the word. Help us promote American-based businesses that are employing American workers because they're really strengthening America's economy. And we all hear about the shortages, and we're going to talk about them today. You know, for many years, we've been urging people to support the Buy American Made campaign and to seek out all size products manufactured or assembled in the United States because we know they represent a full or a portion of the backbone of America's economy. You know, we don't discourage imported products. It's just that we got to a point where we are slaughtered. We're weakened as an economy. We're weakened as a people. Just look at the shortages being announced constantly. 85% of them are foreign-made products. Interesting. I went shopping the other day. I go purposely to ask questions, to talk to people, to see what is going on. So I have some idea of what's happening in the system. And not everyone I speak to, I encourage them to seek out American Made. I let them know about the Made in America store, about our broadcast. I have a great flyer, and that flyer you can see right on the front page of American Workers Radio. American-based businesses were established over two centuries to provide the products and the services that we, America's consumers, needed. It gave everybody a livelihood. So supporting American-based businesses really allows them to stay in business, pay their operational expenses, pay their employees, make a profit to remain in business, pay those taxes and all these other things that are put on them that by local communities, so they can remain a positive part of our local economies. Our local economies for two centuries depended on people making things, distributing things, having things available far back 245 years ago. At the time of the Declaration of Independence, you needed horseshoes, you needed saddles, you needed all made by American workers. American workers were the backbone of communities. They were the backbone of economy in the USA. How did it all change? My opinion, fast-talking, well-known merchandisers from all over the world. A lot of these people that I speak to that are the merchandisers, none of them are Americans. None of them care about Americans. Or I should say 80% of them are representing some other country, the products that are being made elsewhere. When I mention America, they say, America had their day. Hey, we're expanding the world. Everybody's talking about the importance of the global economy. Well, that's my few thoughts for today. As we begin the new fall season, my best wishes to you and yours. And Mark, you've been through it all. And Mark, you are a hero because you stayed focused and consistent. 11 years ago, you said, I'm going to do this. You started out with a few hundred products. You're way over 10,000 right now. Why can't more people take your example? Mark, let us know what's happening.
How you doing, Mike? Thank you for the kind words and point on today, Mike, with all what you you opened up with. And how you doing, Lark and Rich and Henry, always making us sound good. And I know Curtis is looking down on us always, Mike. But a lot going on, and I've got to tell you, buses are coming back, and we're heavy and strong with the buses. It's great to see. You know, we got about 60 scheduled for October, November, and into January. But just great that, you know, I love talking on the buses, as I always tell you, Mike. We just had a bunch of Ohio, Pennsylvania yesterday, and just these people get it. I want our political leaders to be these women that are between, you know, 70 and 90 that yell Mark in the store, and you know they'll drag you by the ear, and you know they're tougher than Trump. You know, I mean, Mike, that's who I want to elect to straighten up our mess in our Washington. But you know, a lot going on. It's great to see these people. I've been interviewed a few times on radio and our TV4 local this week about what we talk about: rapid inflation, product shortage, and worker shortage. But this one was about how people are shopping now, how the big box stores, like we've talked about, the shelves are empty and people aren't buying it, that they're going to have it in time for Christmas. So they are shopping now. They asked me many questions, you know, why Made in America products are better. I said, well, we've got one problem. We've got worker shortage, and I'll go through that in a second. But most of the components are here, and they can build it, and logistically they can get it to us quicker. But with the overseas competition, they've got the shipping container increases from 3,000 to 30,000, and the shortages, component shortages. So it was great to get called and to be, you know, spokesman for what's going on. But locally they're waking up for sure, because I've had two interviews in a week. And then nationally, but people are shopping now. They're not waiting for Thanksgiving. They want to make sure they get their products. And I've got a company called Green Toys. Green Toys manufactures toys from plastic milk bottles, plastic clear bottles, because all plastics are different. And they have two manufacturing plants now, Mike. They have the demand. We're selling their products. You know, they're for like 2 to 8 years old. But they're clean. They're safe. We even got Binkies, or the Fies that go for in a baby's mouth. And I told a guy right out the other day, don't put a China-made Binky or Fie in your baby's mouth.
Oh, God, you're 100%. Right. Oh, my God.
Mike, I get right with him, and he agreed. You know, his little daughter, 2-year-old daughter, pulls the two off the shelf and then, of course, wants to put both in her mouth. He ended up being a 10-year veteran. He said now he's a fan of the store and our movement. So we're getting more and more products. We're supporting the entrepreneurs, the inventors. But this worker shortage, got to tell you a story. Yesterday, I always have a manager's meeting, 16, 17 of the managers. They're half asleep. I come in with the coffee, donuts, Mike, and, you know, my tea. And I go to the Tim Hortons, which is a local, you know, supplier of coffee, well-known in the Western New York area. I went, and there was a gate up. You know, it's tied with a gas station. And I went, there's a gate up. I said, Karen, how do I get my product I just ordered from you? She goes, well, you can come back through there. But I said, what's going on? She said, well, the manager said, do you want me to run the window, the drive-through, or do you want me to run the counter inside the mini-mart? Because I can't do both. I have four people. I said, what's going on? She said, we hire them. They last a day or two. And now they're $17 an hour they're offering, but they get in our face and say, we want more than $17 an hour. And this Karen said, I made $4 an hour when I started, you know, years ago in the work environment. And what's going on is just incredible. They took the free money away. There's still unemployment, but no workers. Now, I'm not talking about a skilled worker there. This is a Tim Hortons coffee shop worker. And then you go to the skilled workers, Mike. They're going to make the money of doctors. We've made such mistakes. But people are jumping ships. The world, it's like the snow globe got flipped over, right? So everything's worked up. But everything me and you and our team have talked about in the years, just in the short years we've been together, is reality now, and it always has been. But we need it frontline on the news. Talking to many people, even if you go to the rapid inflation, I just met a cardboard specialist they need 1,300 tons of cardboard a day in Niagara Falls. So they're going around trying to collect it. Cardboard per ton a year ago or before the pandemic was about $50, $65 a ton. Now it's $165 a ton, and they want to get it. But all this rapid inflation, the product shortage, the worker shortage, you can't get components to finish jobs, Mike. Like at General Welding, we've got the plows. We're putting them on, but there's no new trucks or used trucks. So it rocked our world. But, you know, even if you're waiting for a hydraulic cylinder to finish a job. But all this stuff I'm talking about, it just has to be brought up, has to be dealt with. But we absolutely have no leadership. Larkin knows how small business and how business run. You need a good leader. You make mistakes. There's a right way, wrong way, my way's in between. But we need leadership at a crucial time for this country where the culture is changing. So that's my two cents today, Mike.
Well, you know, Larkin will tell us, but Rich will tell us too. But I believe that the people, you could give them $1,000 an hour. If they don't have the work ethics, they're not going to be dependable.
And here's a point, Mike, I just want to bring up. I just met with a salesman I was picking on. He's old school, and he loves old school. He said the older people, again, that are working, like me and my team, 50s, 60s, they get it. They're working. We're not sure who's replacing us. He said the young people that come in, and this was a large manufacturer or cardboard company, huge, and he said the young people won't look you in the eye. He said there's the first problem. When you interview them or you hire them or even when you're working with them, the younger people just don't look you in the eye. They're used to looking at their phone or whatever. They can't look you in the eye. He said, I bring this up because it's a major problem with our youth. They can't look you in the eye at the interview or working with you. You know, I like that meetings, Mike, where you meet me and you talk. We're in person. But he said the problem with the younger, they just don't look in the eye. It's just a different culture, like you said. And we have problems we must fix.
And they're not, this is happening, Mark, because people are not learning in the schools
to be socially involved.
Everything is just through the phone, through the computer, and there's no stand up and tell me this or that. They don't know answering questions because the person's liable to sound like a fool or look like a fool, they feel. But you must learn these social skills, I'm sorry to say. You know, Mark, a lot of the foreign-made items, the people are telling me, they badly need those foreign-made components in order to finish assembling what they're making here in America. Now, I asked them point blank, could you make it if you had the products in America? They said, sure, Michael, 20 years ago, everything came from Detroit. Not from a foreign country. Now we're waiting on shipping containers, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 week delay. And as I mentioned last week, many of the countries now have opened up outlets in other foreign countries. So America's like a second class place. We have to learn from this. We have to take an example from this. And by the way, Mark, I'm going to use this in a commentary this Saturday on the radio. All this inflation is like a new tax on us.
Yes.
And it'll never go away. Once the price of a product goes up, it's rare that it goes down. We all know that. Yes.
Mike, I want to just say, when I walk on the buses, so we greet the bus, we know it's coming from Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Ohio. We got one coming from San Antonio. So we know. Dorothy does a briefing, so we kind of know what to expect, and they're generally on time. We may feed them while they're here, but I go on the bus, and I welcome them, but I tell my story. Parents grew up poor, started Mark Spolinger Welding, Motor Doctor on Wheels, and, you know, so on and so on. And, you know, now I always ask them, do you believe 50% of our flags are made overseas? None of them can believe it. So there's an education, and they all agree that we should at least make our American flag here. But you've got every race, every size, shape of person come on the buses, and I ask them lately, kids need a purpose, I said, in school. We've made so many mistakes, but I said, I like the metal shops, the wood shop, the electronics, power mechanics, being in the high schools. They say, what happened? Why did we take them out?
That's a very good question, Mark.
And lately that's been coming up, and I ask people, like Larkin said, and I think it was beautiful, we must make Made in America important, because buying Made in America products will continue to rebuild our supply chains, will continue to force education systems to change, but they've got such a situation on their hands without these skilled workers, let alone workers right now, Mike. It's a critical problem because they're jumping ship from company to company, but that breaks up teams at each company, and you end up with less craftsmen. Our construction companies around town here are losing guys left and right for a dollar. They can go here, a dollar there. The loyalty's gone.
The loyalty.
So many, many problems, Mike.
Yep. You know what? How can we continue to pay people to stay home and not have them schedule to go to work to receive that unemployment or that welfare check? While people are on unemployment, they should be able to report for 20 hours a week for some public service work. We have so much work in this country. Just take, for instance, the floods and all that we had. They were pleading and asking for volunteers. Some people came out. They were able to give a day or two. But if we had some of these people that are on unemployment that could be responding to some of these disasters, we could say, well, at least they did something to help earn, to help these people that were
Mike,
going.
I see it with my own people. If it's out there and there's assistance available and they can get it, they're going to take it. Human nature is to take what's free, take the money available. Now, the people that need it, God bless them. Me and you both agree with that. But in order to change, you have to change.
Well, I'm going to give you a small analysis of what someone told me the other day, and I was silenced by it. They said, Michael, you're complaining about people getting money to stay home. I said, well, I think everybody should have, help our economy build. They said, well, look at it this way. And I'm quoting this person's word. If I'm told that I can stay home and get a check or go to work, have to get my child in daycare, have to pick that child up and back, come home and make dinner, or stay home and get the check, what would you do?
Exactly. Well,
I was silenced, and you know me, I'm hard to silence, but I was silenced because I thought, well, I'm not going to argue with this person. This person was 20 years younger than me, and I thought, hey, this is the new mentality. How about we turn to Mr. Larkin? Larkin, how are you doing?
I'm fine, Michael. Mark, good morning. Henry,
good morning.
I don't know if Rich is on, and I think
Rich is with us.
Oh, good. And I think Uncle Bruce might be. I think I can annoy him enough to get him to come back on. hearing you say, what you do is, when they get to a point where they're saying, I have to pick up my child, I have to take him to daycare, I have to bring him back from daycare, I've got to take him. My question would have been, maybe you shouldn't have had kids. Maybe you're not ready to be a parent. That's what parents do. What, do you want the government to take care of them? That's exactly what I would ask somebody that started laying that guilt trip on me.
You know, Larkin, and I also...
So irritating, I can hardly stand.
But, I have to... I also brought up the conversation with this individual. How about those people on unemployment going, having to enroll in some kind of a service project or a job training program? And that was not well received because...
I don't necessarily, you gotta walk before you run. I'd like to get it to a point, there was a very tragic, not tragic, it was just a very tough point in my life where I was working for a company that didn't survive. And I found myself out in the street holding my guignons, trying to figure out where my next meal was gonna come from. I truly did. I went from a very big job to no job at all. The fact of the matter is that my wife said, "Well, why don't you go collect unemployment?" I said, "Well, unemployment's not for me." And she said, "What do you mean? You paid into it. What do you mean it's not for you? You're unemployed, not of your own volition. Your company dries up and bellies up and goes away." She reasoned with me, and I said, "You know what? She's right." So I went down. I stood in line. I got a form. I got a form of the regulations on it, and I had kicked them back, and I don't remember if it was every week. I think it was every week. Every week or at least once or twice a month. And I had to tell them where I had applied for a job, who I had talked to, why I didn't get the job. I just didn't get online and go, Larkin Conley needs money, and expect to get an unemployment check without visually seeing a job counselor. And where were we when this happened? Florida. We were in Florida. To look at somebody. And, of course, when I realized I was going through this process of trying to find another job, probably above a $10 an hour level, I mean, I was looking for an executive position, I didn't go back. But you got to be kidding me. I mean, you had to do something to get your money. But we've made it so easy to vote. We've made it so easy to collect unemployment. We've made it so easy to get SSI. We've made everything easy. So why, I can't remember who told me, but it was very early in my fathering years when somebody said to me, be very, very careful. The most important thing that you can remember as a father is you're not out there preparing the road for your children. You're out there preparing your children for the road.
Very well said. Wow.
And when you get it backwards, that's where you get to a point that we're at now. They don't have the sense of manners to know that you don't sit down at a table, you don't all conglomerate in a room and start having a conversation. How was your day? What did you do? A funny thing happened next door. That I worked and this, and three of the people are sitting in the corner with their note, with their face in a computer, and a telephone. So we're very close. My home circumstances have changed here a little bit. I may be fostering here for a period of time. So the rules are coming out left and right. You know, you leave the phone in your room. Don't bring it out here. I don't want to see it, and I sure as hell don't want to sit here and watch you playing on it.
Right.
So you're either here and involved in the family circumstance, or you go back in your room and be singular and by yourself and talk to the entire world over, quote unquote, the internet, which happens to be the worst societal invention this country has ever come across.
You're right. And what, Larkin?
That's the word. We have pampered our children beyond a point. We haven't given them goals. We haven't given them stretch goals. We haven't told them they have to do certain things. We're out there as parents paving the road, fixing it, brushing it, cleaning off the road so our children have a clean path when they should be inside teaching their children how to survive on the road.
Larkin, you said the right word, goals. You know, when all of us were in school, those teachers promoted goals. What are you going to be? What would you like to be? You know, they always built you up. Today, I don't think we have that. A lot of the classrooms are just disciplining centers. It's just to get through the 45-minute or, the program and then hopefully move to the next class. It's not the way it used to be. How did we get to this point where you can have a cell phone in a classroom where a teacher is teaching, you put it on silent and you can still look at what's going on your phone? Who's messaged you and all?
They got earpieces so small that you can sit there and actually with the phone in your pocket through Bluetooth, just sit there and listen to music.
Yes, they're talking about jamming some stuff. I think the classroom should jam all cell phones when the teacher is teaching. That's what we did without cell phones for all these years. Why now must cell phones? Sure. Now, of course, some teachers will tell you.
Listen, I'm amazed. You need to understand what's going on now. And I'm talking about one of Florida's poorer counties. Those children, their entire curriculum, their lessons, their learning plans, their schedules are on computers. They are assigned a laptop computer the first day of school.
Mm-hmm.
And taught how to use that computer in order to navigate school. It is school preparing the children for the road and not preparing the road for the children. So I applaud what they're doing. You can't pretend like computers aren't a main concern in the world today. You can't survive.
Now, Larkin,
world without computers. So
I can't agree with you more. There's one thing would cheer me up with the computers. And you know what it is? If they were made in America.
Oh, okay.
They could be controlled. Our school systems could control what those computers get. A lot of the schools give computers, but they control certain subjects. You cannot do this on this computer because it's, you know, offered by the school. We would be able to control it. Right now, those computers are made foreign. They're watching us, what we're doing on our computers, and they know more about us than we know about them.
Please don't start that vaccine thing. I couldn't possibly be further from the truth. There's nobody watching us on our own computers.
But Larkin, I can look something up on my computer, any kind of thing. Within 10 minutes on the side of the computer is, we're glad you looked this up. Here is what you're looking for. This is where to get it. This is what to do. So someone is able and is doing it as we speak, because I see it.
Well, I'm not going to deny that Amazon knows exactly what I've bought from them and what I'm inclined to buy from them, and they advertise that. Or when it goes on sale, they make sure I know the sale's going on. I don't care. I don't care about that. They're not telling the world where I am or where I've been or what I'm doing. No, I just can't buy that. Listen, no child today from first to 16th grade is going to survive without a phone, without a laptop, and without the technology that drives both of them in the teaching process. It's just that we have to teach them. Now, I've spent an inordinate amount of time of recent in schools, in a school, in a high school. And I am overwhelmed with how accurate and complete they are, how good the teachers are. Every school, you know, it's like, you know, Black Lives Matter. Cops suck. We need to take their power away. They're no good. Every police force has bad cops. Every teacher's union in a specific high school has really, really good teachers and some really, really bad ones. And you try to get rid of them, but you don't condemn everybody that teaches.
Right.
As well as not condemning everybody that's been a policeman.
Right.
It's just, it's so haphazard and it's so unfair, because I'm going to tell you that 95, maybe 96% of the police in America are dedicated to what they do.
Very much so.
They put the uniform on for the right reason. Maybe they need a little bit more training than they received. They were handed a gun and they went through school for 6 months to the academy, and boom, they're out on the street enforcing the law. Well, that's what they teach them, how to enforce the law. Here's what you do first, and if that doesn't work, you do this. And, you know, whatever you do, you protect your own back. You don't turn your back on anybody. You make people put their hands behind their back. You make people lie on the ground. You have to stay in control of that process at all times, whether the people are good, bad, or indifferent.
Right.
You just have to. There's no other way to do it.
You know, Larkin, when we look at how we got to this point, you know, this has been going on for 40 years, 35 years. It's been bad management that our businesses were slowly moving. It was almost like at a snail's pace. But you get 1,000 businesses a year, it doesn't look that bad. But when you collectively put it together, right now they're saying 77,000 businesses moved out of the United States over the last 35 years. That makes America's leaders look bad.
One more time, I'm going to try to qualify this for you. No backstabbing, spit-swilling, no good for nothing, down low, rotten executive sat there and went, I get to take more jobs away from America. He is being paid a large sum of money by a system that doesn't know
exactly
how to operate itself. It's a greedy system. It's the system. It's not the guy. So they say, here's the deal. We want you to produce a bottom line that looks like this. Do they look at employees? Do they look at quality of product? Do they look at anything else? No.
But
they want the bottom line. They want the shareholder satisfied. That's where the problem is.
But here is another part of the problem, Larkin. We have elected leaders in Washington, in all the states and city councils and everywhere else. We have labor leaders all over the country that are, and business leaders. Why didn't any of them try to speak up and say, hey, in order for us to remain in business, we need to have these companies here? You're right. Some fast talking. I went to a seminar 21 years ago at a hotel at 4th and Arch Street, and the man spoke so well. He virtually told the people in the room. I was invited because I was already involved in the promoting American Made. He spoke to the people so well. He said, why would you want to have all these employee issues and rent and everything else when we can ship it over to you in a container and you just distribute it to any place your customers are? Why would you want to have all that extra work? However, that's point one. Here is where the elected leaders, labor leaders, business leaders, and the media should have said, wait a minute, how are we going to support our country? How are we going to make sure that poverty doesn't rise from 20% to 36% right now as we speak?
Mike, I want to add something with, you know, the pandemic. There's good, bad, and ugly. We're talking rapid inflation, product shortage, worker shortage. But I had a friend that I met in a Vegas hardware retail show, had a neat invention called a twist and seal. But anyways, he had produced, I had mentioned before, he did about $100,000 pieces in sales in 2015. He's up to 19 million pieces that he produced this year, and he's in 3,600 retail stores in five countries. Well, Walmart he met with, and Walmart was so happy that he built and has product on hand because he makes it in America. And I think that took a pandemic to happen, but because he's in America, because he's manufacturing in Illinois with a 60,000 square foot plant, he has product for a big box store where they don't. They got caught with their pants on by building overseas. So what goes around comes around. Things are changing in front of our eyes right now.
And they're changing because Americans are asking, do you have something that's made in America with that product? You know, and people told me that they can't have enough booze made in America because the corks that are foreign made are not coming in on time. So what the hell is this? What's going on? We have to depend on foreign corks? We've been corking stuff here,
Mike,
for 200 years or more.
You better get rich on. He's probably had 7 coffees now.
Okay. Larkin, you wanted to say something.
Well, I'm just saying, we have a tendency to sound like a broken record. And what Mark says is correct. 20, 30 years ago, pressure was on to make money. You know, free enterprise says you buy it first, you build it for something, you sell it for another thing, you pay your help, and the rest is profit to your shareholders. And at the time, the world was really concerned with how to do everything in its line of work the cheapest and get it done so that they could return more money to the shareholder.
Right.
And we were paying outrageous sums of money to CEOs who could turn it, and Jack Welch being one of the few that would not turn his back on the system and saw this coming.
Yep.
But nobody listened to Jack Welch. Nobody, Jack said, you turn your back on your employees and you're creating a problem. But listen, back then, I have to tell you, I ran a company that had 15,000 employees. I was the president of the company. And I'm going to tell you what happened to employee law in the 60s and 70s and 80s is enough to make your head spin. The government went away from business, and you can't be pro-jobs and be anti-business at the same time. Well, Washington, D.C. decided to say, well, we don't particularly care to be pro-business or pro-jobs. We just are anti-business, but we want to win votes, and you win votes by giving the voters something that they didn't have before you came into office. And it all gets caught up in this vicious circle, and as Mark said, eventually time and memoriam and reasonable thought and circumstantial changes make you evolve in a different direction. Are we responsible for? No. We preach it, and we want everybody to pay attention to it, and that seems to be our mission. But there's so much more to what we can and should be doing right now, because the evolution is starting to change.
Right.
And there's going to be a huge outcome of small businesses in the next several years. These infrastructure issues are just like Mark's friend. People are going to start realizing, well, I'm paying 20 cents more an item, but guess what? If it's 20 cents less and I can't get my hands on it, what good is it?
Exactly. Have to have products, have a sale.
That's right.
Yeah, you got to. So they're figuring it out, and it took this entire process for them to figure it out.
You know, Larkin, one of the things that no one has really been watching over the last 30 years, elected leaders, business leaders, labor leaders, the media has not been paying any attention to the fact that in 35 years, poverty in America tripled. Job skills in America have dropped. Why did they? Because our schools aren't promoting it. Poverty, because people went from unemployment to poverty. And that, I mean, no one in the hierarchy is talking about it. If you go, you look at the media today, if you look at just 10 minutes of the media, you will find that no one in the media is talking about things concerning the well-being of America. When a child is born, every mother and every father wants the best for that child, not the worst, not to see that child in unemployment lines, not to see that child in poverty, but to get them to a school that they will learn skills and a future. But is that the goal of our elected leaders, our business leaders? No. It's greed. One word, greed.
No. Listen, we all know that Washington's broken and they're going to have to get fixed. And we're also coming to a point where an awful lot of these people that have created this broken system are going to disappear.
Thank God.
They're in their 70s and early 80s.
Thank God.
They're going to disappear.
Oh.
So that's a natural evolution. But I don't know how to explain to you the things evolve.
Larkin, you're right, and I will tell you this.
Here's what's happened. Now abortion, upon request, or whatever Roe v. Wade is all of a sudden we're saying we're having all these unwanted kids. Okay, I got an idea. If we get pregnant, let's just abort them.
Yeah.
Now we've completely abandoned the sanctity of life, and it's just another assault on a family. On the family and the standards that we establish as a country. We're going to start aborting kids. I actually had somebody tell me yesterday that if they knew they were carrying a child that wasn't totally mentally fit, or they knew that it was a child that had, I can't think of what it was.
Special needs.
If they have a special needs child, they, as a woman, should have the right to terminate that pregnancy, and it's nobody else's business.
Yeah.
This, that's where we are right
this
now.
This is
that's
the new world. This is the new world. Well, everyone is looking out for themselves first.
Can I, Michael?
Yes. Rich, I've been waiting to get you and see how you're doing.
I just finished that seventh coffee, Mark. I believe this is a coffee mug from you, and I showed Mark a photo of a hat, Mark, that I have from you.
Thank you.
And I've got some more gift cards recently, as I've said, when I get a gift card, unfortunately, Michael, in my world, most of the products I sell are not manufactured here.
Could
There's
they be?
Wait. Yeah, well, I will say this, though. Over the years, I've been in this industry for 13 years, there are more products today made. Now, these are not products typically we buy at your big box stores. You have to be a broker-dealer to sell them. Like a car dealership, to use that as in sort of layman terms. So whenever I get a gift card, Mark, from something I do, I make sure it's spent at your store. And so I'll wind up getting something else from you. And So as I finish the seventh coffee, Michael, and I'm listening and I'm taking notes.
Go ahead,
Michael.
No,
ahead.
I want to know, could some of those products be made in America again?
Okay. Yes, and it's a slow, gradual process, and in a year or so, I believe I'll be able to come on air and say, hey, even more products made in the U.S.
Beautiful.
And as I hear all of this, and I'm listening, Mark, to what you're saying, right? You know, people won't work because it's more lucrative to stay home. And Michael, what you're talking about, right? You know, don't worry about educating children to, you know, to be critical thinkers, you know, analytical a little bit, basic math, reading. Larkin, I'm hearing what you're saying, right? We're talking about, you know, just have a child, you know, someone else raises it. You know, I don't want the child. Don't worry about it. Just get rid of it. I think I can sum it all up in a singular word, and that word is called utopia. That is what our country is right now. We are deep in the throes of utopia. And last week, Michael, when I sent out the show to some others, you know, we talked about Constitution Day. Mm-hmm. And Larkin, I had a handful of, they are not registered to a party. I would say they're a little bit more Republican-minded, but they're not registered to any political party. And they wrote to me. They said, you know, Rich, I don't think the founders would recognize America. And here's what I wrote to them, Mark. I said, you sure about that? Maybe, Michael, they actually would not at all be surprised at what is happening in the United States right now. I'm loath, Mark, to speak for anyone except myself. So indulge me for a moment. I actually don't think that a Jefferson and a Madison and a Hamilton and a Franklin and an Adams and a John Jay and anyone else you want to put in there, Michael, I don't think they'd look around and say, wow, this is really shocking. I actually think they'd look around and say, unfortunately, it's what we pretty much expected would have happened. Because while everybody goes around, Michael, quoting a republic if you can keep it, no one ever says the second part of that quote. Which is why when Franklin is asked, why won't we keep the republic? And he says, because the people upon tasting of the dish are predisposed to eat more of it than does them good. Now, what is that phrase? What is that? And that's what he said. What is that phrase? How can you define that phrase? Easy. Utopia. Just keep eating. Isn't that something, Mark? Ain't that something that the actual warning of all of those guys who had the most to lose, they had the most to lose in it all. And out of all that eloquence, all that intelligence, you can singularly summarize what they were warning us against, which was utopia. Ain't that something, Mark? Mm. If people want to change the Constitution, Larkin, we're still about 100 years behind understanding it. change it. We have it, Michael, we're still in the 1800s of understanding what that was all, what those guys ultimately tried to put forth. Change it. We're not even remotely close to understanding it yet.
Now, Rich, I want to ask you a question. From what I know, when the Constitution was passed back in 1787, on September 17th, how many amendments did that Constitution have?
Well, in the beginning, there were none, and then there was the Bill of Rights, which had 10.
10. And now 10 we are overwhelmed with laws, with all sorts of additions that have not helped our country, but helped to destroy the country in many cases.
Michael, do you know what I asked someone today? And I will ask you guys on air. Okay, you want to answer? Great. I asked someone today, forget about political allegiance and party. Can anyone name for me a singular actual adult in politics today? I mean, one adult.
Oh, my God. No.
I can't. Can you name one? Like, I just want one adult. I mean, we wouldn't hire someone who wasn't an adult to, like, unclog our toilet, right? Or unclog the drain or get the ants out of our apartment and our homes. Is there anybody we can think of today in politics who's an adult?
Not really.
That woman's an adult. That guy's an adult. That woman's an adult. I want someone who's an adult. Are there any adults in the room? Are there any adults anywhere? And the very fact that it is so hard to answer that question, Larkin, means that actual adult-minded people in America, irrespective of their political beliefs, right now in this country, adult-minded Americans, Larkin, are shunned. We're rejected. We're the crazies right now.
Mm-hmm.
We're the crazies. Because the crazies of our country, of all different political alliances, are the ones who are now, the politicians now bend over backwards for all the nutties. And all the adults who sit around who worry about actual adult issues, Mark, like, oh, I don't know, how am I going to feed my family? Is my kid getting a decent education? Am I setting myself up for the future? Is inflation going to make me homeless? Like, that's what we worry about in the adult world, right, Mark? Well, the politicians don't worry about that stuff. They're not – the politicians, Mark, aren't appealing to those concerns. The politicians are appealing to the concerns of all of these other juvenile, worthless, crazy issues. When I go through – see, I've given up in the punditry world. People are surprised to learn that. Because every pundit I listen to, Michael, whether Democrat, Republican, or whatever their allegiance, you know what I ask myself, Mark, at the end of the punditry? What does what that guy or woman just said have to do with my life?
That's right.
What does it have to do with me? What does it have to do with Rich Logis, small, married, small business owning, white, heterosexual, got kids in school, wants a good quality education, needs to make a living? What does it have to do with me?
Right.
And I ask that question every time. And you know what the answer all the time is, Mark? Nothing.
Nothing.
Are there any adults anywhere?
Mm-hmm.
For God's sakes. You talk about utopia. This is, we're in it.
And you know what, Rich, you're right.
We're
in
that time now.
We're not even focusing on people that are Americans.
Of course, because you don't need to.
We're allowing everybody and anybody to enter the country, not at our invitation, but at our expense.
If you want to have a discussion about people coming as asylees, that's fine. We can have that as a discussion. Generally, the United States has been a pretty generous country when it comes to providing shelter from persecution. And I'm not going to have a discussion with that. That's for a different discussion. But what adult-minded people aren't about is we just say, come on in, and then we distribute them, Mark, all across the country.
That should not.
But again, when you live in utopia, you don't have to worry about the rule of law. It's all good, Lark. Come on in. Just go wherever you want. You want to hit the beach? Go to Miami. You know, you want to live in the desert? Go to Nevada. You know, I don't know. You like 5,000 degrees in the summer? Go to Texas. Wherever you want. You like the cold? Go move to Mark. Don't worry. It's all good, Mark. In utopia, you don't have to worry about anything.
Anything, right.
Isn't that amazing? Except the only problem with that, Mark, is that the final act of the utopian tragedy isn't happily ever after. It's anarchy. And that's okay, because those guys who lived all those guys who lived 1,000 years ago, Michael, who created the construct of this nation and how the government and states should generally operate, they did it a mile from where you're sitting. Doesn't matter what they said anymore. We don't need that anymore. They lived 1,000 years ago. What do they know?
Rich, you made me think about what I used to say about Washington. When you're in your car, you're driving to Florida, and you see snow on your windshield, stop the car. Turn around, you're going the wrong way.
And I wish, and look, Larkin, I wish that I could come on this, you know, like I talk to people every day, and I wish that I had some magic wand, right? I wish I had some Disney film miracle elixir.
You'd have more friends, Rich.
Right. And all I could tell people, you know, all I could tell people is that in this world, everything has a cost. So decide whether you want to pay now or you want to pay later, right? I mean, everything has it. Why wait for something to become entirely unwieldy and then have to address it? When your health deteriorates to the point that you can't be cured any longer, why wait until that point? So I wish that I had some magic solution, Larkin, but let's start with trying to get ourselves out of this utopian rabbit hole that we seem to just keep digging and digging, Mark. And we just keep finding comfort more and more and more in this rabbit hole. And one day the bill's going to come due. It's like in literature. Remember, you guys, when you studied Dr. Faustus and he made the deal with the devil, and that deal was for 20 years, Dr. Faustus would have all the power on earth. And at the end of the 20th year, Michael, the demons come to collect his soul. And if you remember, if you've ever read or watched Dr. Faustus, you know that there's that final scene where the demons come to collect their payment, which is his soul. And he begs for mercy. But there is no mercy. It's time to pay the bill. Mm-hmm. I feel like we as a nation right now, we as a nation are making a humongous collective Faustian bargain. And the adults of this country are getting kicked to the curb, Larkin, because less and less and less, we matter less now. And that's why I ask, is there anyone who's – the fact that we can't name a singular adult anywhere, I mean, that should be scaring the blank out of everybody. But you don't need to worry about it, Mark, in utopia. You don't need to worry about it.
Yeah, there's
so I guess that's my burning bush sermon from the mouth.
But you know what, Rich? There's just so many things that we've allowed time to be wasted on over the years in this government, in our business community. I don't understand how our business community, our national business alliances, could have allowed so much of this to take place, seeing workers who represent their own families. They see workers, future workers, who represent their children and grandchildren, and they just let it happen. When I talked to some people, they said, well, I talked to my politician, and he said, Michael, it's a free market economy. Is it time to change the free market economy to something where 50% of everything in America that's for sale must be with an American-made tag? Is it time to do that? Well, it might not be a bad idea.
Mike, I think me, you, Larkin, Rich, Henry, why we're so passionate about this, we're not about ourselves, we're not selfish, we're not about our lives, we're about our children's future and our grandchildren's future. That's why what we talk about is so important, why we want to get it on the right track and going in the right direction again, correct?
Yes. You know, I have to tell you this. This will tell us where the whole thing has been. Number one, working in human services, a lot of parents will say, Michael, I tried to get my son or daughter registered in this school because I want to get them into some kind of trade programs. The school is unable to take any new school any new students this year, and possibly not until 23, because they're overwhelmed with parents looking to put their children into these special programs. They're after high school and after college programs. The problem is this started as a result of taking those trade programs out of our schools. It doesn't make sense why it happened. It didn't make sense. Did they think that if we're exporting jobs around the world, well, we won't need these people, so let's just stop teaching? You never unknow something that you know. It's better to know than not know.
I'm going to try one more time to get you to understand the evolution of free enterprise. It goes through these maturations, these gyrations, where it responds poorly to certain groups of people, certain types of enterprise. When I say types of enterprise, I mean different sizes as well as ones that make electronic componentry or whatever. It all is worthy of changing. And to suggest under any circumstance that this government or any government would put laws down in a free enterprise world that you can only sell 50% made in America. That's more dangerous than letting all the small businesses go to another shore. That's just bad. We will recover from this. It will take amount of time. My concern is that our country survives. Remember, Biden just told the world at the UN that China is our friend. We're going to be friendly competitors. My comment to him was, if you could get them to play by the same rules, I'll compete with them.
Well, yeah. I agree with you, Larkin. My biggest concern with all this is parents have to also be the people to speak up, not just the politicians and the business leader. Parents who had those children want those children to be a success and say, look, we want this restored because I want my child to have at least one skill when he graduates from this high school. Period. It's up to parents. It's up to consumers to speak up and buy. I don't buy stuff that's foreign made if I don't really want it. Period. So let's do what we can. And guys, it's that time I hear the music.
Mike, your freedom to choose is your power to change.
Your freedom to choose is the power to change. The freedom to choose is the power to change. Until next Wednesday at 11 or this Saturday at 11, God bless you. Please go out and support American Made. Support your local businesses. They really need your support. Have a great one.